happy in hell. Our text for tonight is a well-known one. It's that verse 25. Paul reasoned with Felix, and we're told that he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Now, of course, you've heard about this man called Felix. You know that Paul encountered him when the apostle was a prisoner. But again, what else do you know about him? His name is mentioned 9 times in the book of Acts. So in reading Acts, you've come across his name that number of times. Well, this individual was born Antonius Claudius. That was his original name. He was born a slave. You might say, well, how did he get the name Felix? When he was made a free man by Claudius the emperor, it was then that he was given this name, this infamous name, Felix, to mark his freedom. Now, why Felix? You might say, well, what does the name Felix mean? We always like to look at the meaning of Bible names. And when we look at Felix, Felix means happy. Felix means happy. No doubt he was happy to be given his freedom from slavery. But this man Felix was a slave to other things. He most certainly was a slave to sin. Historians write of him saying he reveled in cruelty and lust and wielded the power of a king with the mind of a slave. He was a man happy in his sin, enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. He was happy to take another man's wife, namely Drusilla. He was happy to hold Paul a prisoner for 2 years. He was happy to speak with Paul for a season. But then his happiness turned to horror. Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, and Felix trembled. No, Felix, he's not happy now. He's not happy now where he is. For he is there where no laughter is heard, where there's nothing to make anyone happy. He's there in that place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There, somewhere among the corridors of the lost, can be found this man Felix. And what does that name mean again? It means happy. So here we have a man. His name means happy. He's happy in hell. So how did this all come about? How did he find himself there in the darkness of the underworld after listening to the earnest entreaties of the great servant of God, the Apostle Paul? I'll tell you how. Just as countless others have done the same thing, they have heard, set under the preaching of faithful heralds of the truth, and they have done what Felix said to Paul: go thy way. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. And those who have sat under the gospel for years and heard the gospel, and yet they're not saved, every time they hear the gospel and go out of a church building, turning a deaf ear to what they've heard, they're basically saying, go thy way, preacher, when I have a more convenient season, I'll listen to you. Want us to look at this man, Felix. Felix and his sympathy for Paul. It's amazing, isn't it? That here we're talking about a man called Felix, a sinful wretch of an individual, and yet when Paul was in prison, believe it or not, Felix sympathized with the apostle. Look there in verse 22. And when Felix heard these things, heard Paul, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And listen, and he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And so here is Paul. And Paul is locked up in prison. And Felix had sympathy for him. But did you notice there in that verse 22? And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, those words condemn this man, Felix. Having a more perfect knowledge of that way. That is how the gospel of Christ is described in other places in the book of Acts. And so we read it then that Felix had a perfect knowledge of the way. Christ is the way. And that's how the gospel that the apostles preached was referred to by others. The way. Go back to Acts 19. Acts 19. And there in verse 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way, there it is. They spoke evil of that way, the way that the apostles were preached. They were preaching Christ, Christ being the way, the truth, and the life. Go down to verse 23, the same chapter. And the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. And so here is an amazing thing, that Felix, this ungodly wretch of a man, had a more perfect knowledge of the way. He knew the gospel. He knew the way of salvation. In fact, he said he had a more perfect knowledge of the way. And so he had a full knowledge. He was fully acquainted with the way of salvation. And yet he went to hell. How many are like Felix? They have a more perfect knowledge of that way because it has been taught to them even from a child. They heard the way in Sabbath school. They sat in the house of God with their parents as the preacher proclaimed the word. And now that they are older, why? They could nearly teach someone else all about the way. They're so familiar with it. They can tell others about the way, yet they're not in the way themselves. They're still happy in their sin and happy in the world. But their happiness will evaporate one day if they don't get right with God. If they don't step out of the broad way that leads down to hell and get on to the straight and narrow way that leads to heaven and to home. They're happy in the world, they're happy with their sin, but as I say, that happiness will soon disappear when they enter into the darkness of a lost eternity. His familiarity. Notice his friendliness. Yes, Felix was friendly towards Paul. It's hard to believe that this man, Felix, was friendly to anyone, especially a man of God like Paul. But he was, verse 23. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty. So let him have some freedom. Let him have liberty. And that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And so any of his friend, Paul's friends who came to visit him, they were allowed in to see him. And they were also allowed to minister to Paul. And this is what Felix allowed for the apostle Paul, that we see his friendliness towards Paul. Felix saw to it that Paul was comfortably cared for while in prison. Felix saw to it that Paul had liberty. That is, he was not put in the common prison or kept in close confinement. He had limited freedom in the palace, chained to one soldier, one guard. And he permitted Paul's friends to visit him. And this was the permission that Felix gave regarding Paul. So we see how friendly Felix was towards Paul. Yet he never came to be a friend of Paul's Savior. He did a lot for Paul, but he never received Paul's Savior and Christ. It reminds me of individuals who we've met over the years who would do anything for their minister. They would do anything for him. If he needs to go anywhere, they'll drive him about. It was particularly true of our dear brother, late brother, Dr. Ian Paisley. There were those who supported Dr. Paisley over many years. And I know as we say, they would have given their right arm for him, but they didn't know his Savior, but they'd do anything for him. And here's Felix, and he's friendly towards Paul, and yet he rejects the gospel that Paul preached. That very same thing happened to the Lord Jesus. If you turn, please, to Luke chapter 7. Luke 7 and verse 36. And one of the Pharisees, now we know the Pharisees have no love for Christ. And one of the Pharisees desired him, desired the Lord, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And we know what happened. The woman came with an alabaster box of ointment. She anointed the Lord and she stood behind him. And she washed his feet with her tears, expressing her love. Pharisee wasn't too impressed by that. But the Lord had a word for the Pharisee. You look there in verse 45. The Lord said to the Pharisee, thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And so there was the Pharisee, and he was friendly towards the Lord Jesus. He invited them into his home to sit down and eat with him. But he didn't know Christ as Savior. He was friendly. But that was all. That's as far as it went. So it was with Felix. He was friendly towards Paul, but that's as far as it went. Being friendly towards the servants of God doesn't save the soul. If it were possible to ask Felix that tonight, he would tell you that. He was friendly towards Paul, but it didn't save him, and it didn't keep him out of hell. Not at all. And that is where that man is. That man, Felix, is the man who was friendly towards Paul. The man who was familiar with the way of salvation. Not only did he have his familiarity, his friendliness, we notice also the faith. No, not his faith, but faith is mentioned here. In verse 24, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So there's Felix, and he appears sitting upon his throne, Drusilla beside him. Why did he send for him? He sent for him and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. If ever a man was without excuse, was this man Felix. He had a perfect knowledge of the way of salvation. He was friendly towards Paul, the preacher of the gospel. And now we find here that he sent for Paul, unheard of concerning faith in Christ. But sure, it's not like many. It's not like many today, and indeed over the years, that listen to the preaching concerning the faith in Christ. They've been told they need to be saved, need to be born again, need to be washed in the blood, need to be put their faith in Jesus Christ. They're still listening, but they've not got out from their sin and got under the blood. They're still listening, just as Felix listened to Paul concerning the faith in Christ. He listened. He sent for him and got Paul to tell him again about faith in Christ. Concerning faith in Christ. And again, so many today who sit in gospel preaching churches, they know all about faith in Christ. To be saved from a lost eternity, to be saved and go at last to heaven, they need to put their faith in Jesus Christ. But they haven't done it. They're like the young man, the rich young ruler, who came to the Lord one day and wanted to know what he should do. What must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? Well, the Lord Jesus told him. He basically told him, you need to put your faith in Christ. You need to get rid of your idols. Money was his idol. You need to obey the word of God. And then we read Matthew 19:22. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. He went away. Just as Felix had sent the Lord, or sent Paul away. The rich young ruler went his way, and he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had many riches, and he wasn't prepared to give them up for Christ. Felix wasn't prepared to give up his sin for Christ. The rich young ruler asked the question, and he was given an answer, but he went away. He went away with the Lord's words ringing in his ears. Just another Felix. Where is he now? He is in that place where a great gulf is fixed. No one can go to him, neither can he come to us. And many have joined him who have heard those things concerning the faith in Christ, and yet they never put their faith in Christ. And all the opportunities that they were given, never trusted Christ. They still hear the sermons. They still hear the preacher, but they'll not respond to it now. There's no responding to preaching where Felix is, or where the rich young ruler is. We've considered Felix and his sympathy for Paul. Next, we notice Felix and the sermon from Paul. When Felix and Drusilla sat listening to Paul, they heard him deliver a sermon. And Luke, the author, the writer of Acts, gives us his outline. Every sermon should have an outline. Well, here's Paul's outline. Luke records it and gives it to us. And as he reasoned of righteousness, point one, temperance, point two, judgment to come, point three. It was a three-point sermon, if you like. But I want you to notice Paul's presentation. Notice how Paul presented the word to Felix. For we read in verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, he reasoned with Felix. You know that word, reasoned? Tells me that Paul did not alter his message in any way. Tells me that he didn't water it down. It tells me that he preached it as he always preached it. He didn't care if he offended Felix or not. He preached it the way he always preached it. Go back to Acts 17. Acts 17, verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them three Sabbath days, reasoned with them. He's not in prison now. He's not before Felix now. He's preaching the gospel. How did he preach it? He reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Look at chapter 18 of Acts and verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Verse 19, the same chapter. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And so there's Paul. And when he's in the synagogue, or wherever he was, he reasoned with his hearers. He's not in the synagogue now. He's not in the temple now. He's in prison. He's before an ungodly man, but he presents the word just the same way. Isn't that what's needed? Isn't that what is needed? Straight up and down preaching that came from Paul. The clear presentation of the truth in a way that the hearer can easily understand. And evidently Felix understood what Paul said. So Paul faithfully delivered the truth about salvation to Felix in a way that his governor and his wife Drusilla were without excuse. He reasoned with them. He presented to them the facts. He presented to them the truth of the gospel. They were without excuse. No, they wouldn't. On the day of judgment say, Paul, I didn't understand a word you said. Not at all. Paul would have presented the word in a way that a child would understand. How do I know? But Paul has told us how he preached the word. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. Listen. My speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's how Paul preached. That's what he said. My speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And that's how Paul presented the word to Felix that day. He didn't water it down. He didn't present it in a way in case he might offend Felix. Not at all. Boy, don't you love the preaching of Paul. Didn't matter what his congregation was, what his audience was, whether he was in a synagogue or in a prison, he preached the same. The same way, and he preached the same word. And Felix heard it that day. But he rejected it that day. And the days following, the man who's called happy, he's in hell. Because he rejected Paul's preaching. As well as his presentation, we notice his points. Luke gives us the 3 points of Paul's sermon. Righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. There's another example of the faithful preaching of the Apostle Paul. You think of it. He was standing before a man who was a wicked, wicked, sinful individual. And Paul deals with righteousness, temperance, and judgment. No. He wasn't there to tickle the ears of Felix or Drusilla. He wasn't there to make them feel good. Remember I told you about a man who went to Reverend Wagner's church and attended for a couple of months and then disappeared. And somebody out of the congregation met him somewhere and said, "Oh, we've missed you at church. What has happened?" "No," he says, "I'm not the back." He says, "When I go to that church, I don't get a warm, fuzzy feeling." Well, Paul wasn't intending on Felix having a warm, fuzzy feeling. Paul preached on temperance. Paul preached on righteousness. Paul preached on judgment. On judgment. A man who was unrighteous, Paul preached on righteousness. A man who was fleshly and lustful, Paul preached on temperance. A man who was a deep-dyed sinner must be told about judgment to come. And Paul told him. The only way he could be righteous was through faith in Christ. The only way he could learn temperance was through faith in Christ. The only way he could escape the judgment of God to come was through faith in Christ. And these things Felix knew. Remember? He had a more perfect knowledge of that way. And yet he rejected it all. But there's something else here. That third point. Judgment to come. In the original Greek, the definite article is there. And so what Paul did say to Felix, he reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. Wasn't just any judgment. The judgment. The judgment above all judgments. The judgment of the great white throne. Paul said In Hebrews 9 and verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. After this the judgment. You might ask, what will that be like? What will the judgment be like? Well, I know who we can ask. We can ask John the Apostle. He'll tell us. And we might say then tonight, John, tell us something about the judgment. Revelation 20. John has it written down. And I saw the dead, Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. All their works, all of man's works, are recorded in the books in heaven. They'll be opened in the day of judgment, John tells us. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. The works, they're recorded in the books, and they're judged according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Thank you, John. Thank you for telling us what the judgment will be like. And Felix will be there. The dead, small and great, and those others who will be there, will recognize the face of Felix. They'll recognize Felix. Where is Felix tonight? That man called Happy. That man called Happy is in hell awaiting the judgment. Like none of them. We've considered his presentation, his points. We notice what it produced, what Paul's ministry produced when he delivered the truth, delivered his own soul to Felix. What did it produce? Well, we're told in verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. That's what it produced. Interesting, isn't it? That when Paul mentioned the judgment to come, Felix trembled. He had every right to tremble. Every right to tremble. That word, tremble. That word tremble means afraid. It means terrify. Paul had delivered a good word. Paul hadn't minced his words. Paul had given the truth. And when he mentioned the judgment to come, Felix was terrified. Paul had laid bare the sins of Felix as he dealt with righteousness and temperance. But when he came to reason with him of the judgment to come, he was terrified. The great white throne, with Christ sitting upon it, the dead, small and great, standing before him. Then the books being opened, Felix knowing that his works are recorded in those books, and every man will be judged according to the works that are recorded in those books. No wonder Felix trembled. And every unconverted soul ought to tremble as well. Your name are written in those books, and your works are recorded in those books, and you'll be judged according to the works that are found there in those books. Felix trembled. He was terrified. Revelation 6 and 17. John speaks about the great day of God's wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The answer, nobody. No one will stand. Not even Felix. None will stand in the day of God's wrath and God's judgment. You see, then, we have seen then the sympathy for Paul, the sermon from Paul, and then you have Felix and his seeing off of Paul. He saw him off. The words of verse 25 are the last recorded words uttered between Paul and Felix. We notice the dismissal. Felix could not give ear to Paul's words anymore. That day, when he heard about the judgment to come, he said to Paul, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." But Felix dismissed more than Paul that day. He dismissed more than the apostle that day. He dismissed the strivings of the Spirit that day. He dismissed the offer of salvation that day. He dismissed the speaking voice of God that day. Yea, he dismissed Christ that day. Go thy way. Paul said, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Well, for Felix and all others like Felix, there is no escape, that's it. Neglect the salvation of Christ, and there is no escape. Yes, I know that Felix sent for him the oftener and commune with him. That's what we're told. He sent for him and communed with him. There at the end of verse 26. It's too late. The door of mercy had closed. "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." But that convenient season never came around again. He dismissed him. We see his desire. Again, verse 26. He hoped also that money should be given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But the communion meant nothing. Why did he send for Paul? The more oftener. Well, we're told he hoped also that money should be given him. That if some of Paul's friends came to visit him, that they would bring money with them and give them to Felix and seek the release of Paul. It didn't happen. Is it amazing that after Paul had preached Christ to Felix and told him about faith in Jesus Christ and told him about righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come, all that Felix could think about was money. That's all he could think about. That in itself would tell us that Felix had crossed the deadline at last. All he could think about was money. Money. How often the words of Paul are misquoted. How often have you heard people say, money is the root of all evil? No, it's not. Paul said, the love of money is the root of all evil. And so it is. When you think what individuals are prepared to do in these days because they have a love of money, what they'll do for the dollar or the pound. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And I'm sure Paul told Felix and gave Felix the words of Christ. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And Felix didn't know that. He certainly found out. Felix in hell today. As well as his dismissal and his desire, that leads us to his doom. Yes, he sent for Paul more oftener and communed with him. But there's no sign anywhere, no hint, not even a hint, that Paul led Felix to Christ. In fact, after 2 years, he dismissed Paul completely. You look at verse 27, that after 2 years, Pontius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Farewell, Paul. Farewell, salvation. Farewell, heaven. Welcome, hell. Felix, his name means happy. He's not happy now. Felix's name means happy. That's why we said tonight our subject would be happy in hell. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving and gracious God, we thank thee for the way of salvation. The way of salvation is for the whosoever will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. the deepest died sinner, calls on Christ for salvation, the Lord will save him. The Lord will not turn him away. May that happen tonight, Lord. May someone call. May they not join Felix in a lost eternity. May someone, somewhere tonight, embrace Christ as their Savior and not dismiss the preacher or the preaching or the Word. Thy Lord be with us as we leave the house of God. Continue thy good hand upon us. Keep us safe and well, each one. All in our church family and all in our individual families. Bless us, Lord, as we leave God's house tonight. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.